بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اما بعد Inshallah today we'll look at firstly the wasiyat and the bequest in a bit more detail. We spoke about Islamic rules and part of the rights of a person is that he's allowed to up to one third of his estate to make a wasiyat and a bequest for non-inheritors. So there are four types of wasiyat. The first type of wasiyat is what is compulsory, that it is the duty of a person to make wasiyat, that whatever obligations he had failed to fulfill, that must be fulfilled from his estate and will be fulfilled from one third and not more than one third. For example, qadha salah, qadha fas, outstanding zakat, unsettled debts, any amana and trusts that are in his possession. So all this he has to make it very, very clear in his Islamic will that this is how much he is owing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or how much he is owing to the creation, then that must be fulfilled. If he does not make such a bequest, then it will be left to his inheritors to use their discretion and to make sure that they pay for his missed salahs or his missed fast, etc., that is left to them, and if they want to do it. Otherwise, if it's not done, then he will face the consequences in the akhirat for not having fulfilled that and making a bequest for that. Then we get a mustahab, a preferable wasiyat, and that is, for example, my wealth should be given to a good cause. Sadaqah, a jariyah can take place, for example, a masjid, a darul ulum, to be spent on a well or to help some orphans and widows. So this will be thawab for him in the akhirat. The third will be a permissible bequest, and that is just to make over a portion of his wealth to some of his friends or to some members of his family that do not inherit, so he can make over a portion of wealth to them. And then you get a makruh wasiyat, and that is to make a wasiyat for someone that will use his wealth incorrectly. So these are the four types of wasiyat that the ulama have listed. And the important one for us to note is the first one, and that is that the wasiyat of misfas, qadha, zakat, debts, etc., a person should have a clear record of it. So certain rules regarding the wasiyat. So number one is you cannot make a wasiyat for an heir, someone that's inheriting. You cannot make a wasiyat for them. And there's also an important masla that I just want to bring in here also. What they refer to as maradul maut. Maradul maut means a person is in such an illness and there's no hope of his recovery. Within a short time he's going to pass away. Even if that person is mobile, not literally bedridden, able to move around and do the work, but you have no hope of them surviving. This is not a long-drawn illness, not an illness that goes on for years. This is such an illness, and the doctor says there's no hope that the person will pass away within 1 year. So when a person is in that state, then there are certain rules that apply to the person. So when they are in that state, so one of the things is that he cannot even give a gift in that state to his inheritor, someone that will inherit his daughter, his son. He cannot even give them a gift, because that is regarded as a person is giving them like sort of a wasiyat. So there are certain rules that apply to that when a person is in maradul maut. We will discuss that also in detail today or maybe next week inshallah. So the first thing is that he is not allowed to make wasiyat for a person that is an heir. If he did make a wasiyat for anyone that is an heir, then that will not be valid in Islam. The heir will only get what he receives, the stipulated amount that is mentioned in the Quran and Majid. Then the wasiyat is only restricted to one third of the estate and it cannot exceed one third. So even in the case where he has misfas and he has qadha salah and it's exceeding more than one third of the estate, it will only be paid from one third. They give an example. If a person said that when I pass away, this is my property and this property must be given to this masjid as waqf or whatever it is. So that is a wasiyat. Now, if he passes away and it's found that that property exceeds one third, then only one third will be given, and the rest of it will still be in the ownership. The remainder will still be in the ownership of the rightful heirs. So one third, and not more than one third, will be accepted and regarded. Although ulama say it's permissible to make a wasiyat up to one third, still it's better for him not to use the entire one third in wasiyat. We find there is a hadith, especially for a person who has a very small estate. The hadith encourages that leave your heirs in good standing, leave your family in good standing. Your wife, for example, she'll be an heir, your sons, your daughters. So leave them in good standing so that they can have enough wealth, sufficient wealth to do something with it, to sustain themselves if they need to, or to invest wherever they need to invest. So if a person has very, very little wealth, then it's not advisable for such a person to make a wasiyat. Rather, it will be better for him to leave it for his family to enjoy from that wealth. Yes, in the case where a person is quite wealthy and has enough and plentiful, so then for him to make the wasiyat, he will be advised to make that wasiyat. Then, upon the demise of the one who had made the wasiyat, the wealth will be presented to the person for who the wasiyat was made. And then that person can also refuse the wasiyat. He has the right to say that I don't want to accept this wasiyat, it must go back into the estate. So that is also the option that the person has, that I don't want to accept it, I want to give it back. And if he verbally says, he just verbally says, I have accepted it, then it becomes his property, even though he hasn't taken possession of it. Now, why they're mentioning all this is, there are different rules for different types of acts in Islam. For example, gifting. If I tell you, for example, I want to give you something as a gift, so a person doesn't become the owner of it. The only time he becomes the owner is once he takes possession of it. He has to take physical possession. But now, in case of wasiyat, by just telling the person this wasiyat was made for you, the person has passed away. The person has passed away, and now it is yours. He says, I accept. Then he is already the owner of it. Automatically, he becomes the owner, just like the inheritors. They automatically become the owner of the wasiyat. Of the estate, which they are now owners of, according to the proportions that are mentioned in the Quran and Majid. If one had made a wasiyat that upon his death, a certain debtor should be absolved of his debt. Someone is owing him money. He says, when I die, then I make intention that whatever money this person is owing me is maaf. But only when I die. During my lifetime, he pays me, but when I die. So ulama say that this is regarded to be a form of charity, and it will only be valid from one third of his estate, just like a wasiyat. If it fits in that one third of his estate, then well and good, he will be made maaf. Otherwise, if it exceeds the one third, it will not be valid unless the heirs consent to it and all of them are mature. If there are heirs that are immature, their consent doesn't count for anything. If the few adults, often it happens sometimes, someone passed away, small children involved. So they are already acting in the property, but they don't understand the rule is that the small children, they have a right in that, and they can't even give their permission. So you can't take their right away. You can give up your right, my right, or my portion. But their portion, we can't deal in it. We can't act on behalf of them also. That will have to go to them. That is the justice system of Islam. If a person made, listen to this carefully, if a person made a wasiyat, that when he passes away, then half of his estate must go to his wife. And for example, he says this is in accordance to a certain marriage contract, community of property or whatever it is, then this is also invalid. This is invalid. If someone wanted to give his wife anything, he should have given it to her while he was healthy and he was alive. I spoke about maradul maut. At that time also, when the person is about to pass away, and then there also he is saying to his wife that I'm giving you this house and he starts signing it over to her, etc., and gives her possession, is not considered at that time. It's very important to understand this. Because now it's like he has passed away already, according to the Islamic law. It's like he has passed away already. So it's very important to understand that. So the wife cannot just take it and say it's hers. She'll only receive what is her share. So if there's children in that marriage, then she'll get 1/8 of the estate. If there's no children, she'll get 1/4 of the estate. Then the last thing is making a wasiyat to be buried in a specific place or a graveyard. So this is a dying person's wish. It's got nothing to do with the wealth. It's not necessary to be fulfilled. But if it can easily be fulfilled, then a person should fulfill it. If it easily can be fulfilled. For example, a person said, you know, I wish I could be buried in Jannatul Baqi, and he passed away in South Africa. So now, that's not something that can easily be fulfilled. Allah Ta'ala will accept his intention and his longing, but now we will bury him wherever he is convenient. But if he says, for example, my parents are buried in a certain Qabristan, my family is buried and it's all close by and I like to be buried there, then that can be done. I want a certain person to perform my janazah if he is alive when I pass away, then that can be fulfilled, inshaAllah. Then we spoke about, we'll conclude with this last aspect about general advice. We spoke about this a few weeks ago. So what are some of the advices that a person can include? So there are some examples here. For example, you can write there, I hereby make wasiyat of the following to my family. So wasiyat, nasihat is while a person is alive. And the last man's, the dying man's wishes for his family and advice is called wasiyat. So this is held very, very close to the family member's heart. They'll always remember that. So he'll write there, it's a letter to his family that's placed in his will, that's to be read out to the family. For example, he says, at the time of my death, no customs and practices which are contrary to the sunnah must be practiced. After performing my ghusl in the sunnah manner, my burial must not be delayed. So maybe he said it in his lifetime, but now he makes sure he writes it down. Wind up my estate, give all the heirs their shares according to the sharia as quick as possible. If I have wronged anyone by having spoken ill of them or hurting their feelings, I humbly beseech you to forgive me. And I have forgiven everyone who may have wronged me in any way. So these are some of the things he'll write. For example, he'll tell them, guard your iman. Oh my children, I want you to live like this. Be punctual on your salah. Remove all these evils from your homes. Remove the television from the homes. Don't get involved in these dealings, for example. And he will say, for example, I want you to recite for me Surah Ikhlas. And whoever can, send for me rewards every day. When you're reciting a Surah Yasin, don't forget me in the rewards. And he gives some certain advices to his wife, certain advices to his daughters, of the duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some other advices. For example, I urge my family to live within their means and to curtail their luxuries. Do not be extravagant and avoid all Western fashions and styles. Refrain from debts, unnecessary things. So all these beautiful advices he will give them. Now he'll know the weaknesses in his family. You know. For example, he'll write there, now he knows now these two family members are not getting along, whatever. So he'll write there a certain message in a beautiful manner without offending anyone. And perhaps that can be the means of them getting together and mending the family. So these are some of the things that give us an idea what a person can advise his family. And in the end he will say, for example, maintain unity. Forgive others their faults, and he will tell them, your destiny is the akhirat. Don't spend all your energies on this temporary world. Just like me, today I am gone, yesterday I was here, tomorrow you will also be in my position. So something like that, something for them to think about, that will be his final advices. So inshallah we'll conclude there. Next week, there's two important aspects regarding family trust and waqf. This is an important aspect also. Many people have family trust. And then also the aspect of waqf, inshaAllah, and some last few matters on maradul maut. We will discuss it next week. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. The tawfiq to get all these matters in order before we leave this world. SubhanAllah.